Well, good morning. Glad you're here. Great group out today, and we're hoping to share some really important insights with you. I'm Gary Gilmore with the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse, and my responsibility is to look at some key elements that I believe would be important to consider and share with you. And even though a slide didn't come up to that effect, I do need to indicate that I have nothing to disclaim. I'm going to show you the overview of what I'm going to present in terms of prelude, purpose, process, and products, and then a take-home message so that you can take that with you as you travel and think about next steps. The prelude part of this that I'd like to share with you is like a prelude of music where it capsulizes and gives context. And there's some context that I'd like to share with you because it may resonate with where many of you are at. Our MPH program was the first in the University of Wisconsin system, and sometimes that surprises people, but people are getting interested in public health programs today, and they're jumping on board in a very, very important venue, as I think many of you would agree. And ours was first developed and offered in 1991. I do need to mention one particular part of this prelude is that a lot of groundwork went on during the 1980s. And that included not only my contact and other administrators' contact with individuals across the state of Wisconsin, to include health-related committees, to include other universities in our system, but it also included continual contact with CEIF. And I must tell you that those discussions began in the early 1980s. And consequently, as we came in offering the program authorized by the University of Wisconsin system in 1991, we had had long-term discussions with CEIF. That's probably one of the greatest recommendations that I could make to any and all of you, whether you currently have a program or you're desirous of developing one. Have early contact with that office. And another part of the message that I'll deliver to you is this. They not only listen, but they respond almost immediately. Molly and I almost had a private telephone line, it seemed at times. She responds so quickly, so accurately, so thoroughly, and this is true for all of the staff, but I've had the greatest amount of interactivity over the years with the deputy executive director now, and congratulations, Molly, and it's well-deserved. And I don't say that gratuitously. I say that meaningfully. So do as much groundwork and have that connectivity with CEIF from very early on. In 1992, we were nationally accredited. And so no graduate from our program has graduated from an unaccredited program. I'm not sure that all of that can take place today with all of the criteria and the sub-criteria that need to be addressed, but I think it's worthy of striving for that. And consequently, it was initiated in 1991 and CEIF accredited in 1992, but a lot of preliminary work went into that to make that a reality. Talk with CEIF about that possibility. The other thing that I would point out is that our Bachelor of Science program in community health education is also nationally accredited. When CEIF began with alignment with the MPH program, and now in a standalone fashion, but back then in 2007, a program that was a baccalaureate program could also be reviewed for accreditation. And we did that for the 2007 accreditation process, along with our MPH, and now our Bachelor of Science in Community Health Education is also nationally accredited. I believe it was the first baccalaureate program so accredited, but the important thing is that it was in combination within the context of the work that we were doing with the MPH. The next part of Prelude that I would mention to you has to do with some key points, and that is that to us, reaccreditation is a mid-course review. It is not a prevalent event. It's something that takes place on an ongoing basis, much like our Healthy People 2020 has mid-course reviews. That's what we have with accreditation as we connect with the CEEF office. And I think it's important to think along those lines. It's an ongoing effort. It's an ongoing evaluation. The other point that I would bring out wholeheartedly, and you'll hear this in some of my follow-up comments, is have a rationale for what you do. CEEF has criteria, and they ask us to meet the criteria, but they also ask us why. And if there are instances where we're a little bit distinct or we haven't arrived at a given point, what CEEF asks is, what's your rationale? Why is that? And if we can have clarity in rationale, CEEF listens. That doesn't mean that it dismisses the importance of a given criterion, but it does mean that they're interested in where we are at this point in time. Dialogue with CEEF. Keep that line open. The other point that I would mention to you is that we also view the self-study as our progress report. And so in that line, we go back to the recommendations that were made in our case in 2007 based upon our last self-study. Go back to the original recommendations from that last self-study, and hopefully you do that on an annual basis, not just as the next reaccreditation visit merges and starts to come to the fore, but do that on a regular basis. Build that into your self-study in terms of what you did with those recommendations. The other point that I'll make in the prelude has to do with numbers being important, but they're not the only matter that's important here. We do need to produce the numbers that document the metrics in which we're involved and engaged, but we also need to include things like connectivity, transparency, and having an opportunity to be open to new ideas that might emerge not only from CEEF, but from other sources as well. So that's my prelude, and so that I don't move too long on one slide, let me just go to the purpose, and it is to share the process and the benefits of using the various, what I refer to as guidance systems, in both our undergraduate and graduate public health programs for their development, implementation, and in this case, apropos, accreditation. The point that I would make regarding addressing that particular purpose has to do with the three essential domains that many of you are familiar with. What we challenge ourselves with at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse with both of our accredited programs is that we're not only engaged in professional preparation. Obviously, that is a major responsibility that we all share. But in addition, I believe and my colleagues believe that we have a responsibility to address credentialing. Accreditation is one of the four areas of credentialing. Another one for us, where we emphasize and focus on health education, is certification. And we are advocates for certification, in this case, in our case, with health education. But it could be epidemiology. It could be being certified in public health. My point regarding credentialing is, in addition to accreditation, do consider the type of recognition for your particular disciplines that are being addressed. And then professional development. Many of our candidates are involved in professional development while they're in the programs. And that includes the undergraduate candidates. I don't have time to get into a lot of examples, but the point is, through actions and activities connecting with the community, our graduate and undergraduate candidates become engaged in professional development while they're in a learning phase in their lives. I'd like to see professional development not be a post-academic environment. I'd like to see that be lifelong in the career development of both undergraduates and graduates. Competency-based curriculum. I cannot emphasize this enough. We are driven by competencies. I'll explain a little bit more of that in a moment. In terms of inclusion-based models, trying to distill down some ideas that I thought would be helpful to you, you're not going to find a text that lists these as I've listed them, but what I've tried to do is capture some of the essence of being inclusion-based. This is another area that I'd like to share with you that I think will help you as directors, as faculty in your respective programs. And I definitely think that it will lead to a better understanding by CEF and other stakeholders regarding what we're doing and why we're doing it. External advisory groups, I'll explain each one of these in just a moment. Area health education centers, don't miss the opportunity to connect with the AHECs that are in your states. Public health education and training centers that are HRSA-sponsored. We have a relatively new one, 5-year grant from HRSA, $3.2 million, and we've been at it for 4 years, and I can tell you that the four public health programs in the state of Wisconsin work together collaboratively. Tap into those opportunities. Stakeholder engagement, I'll give you an example about a student-related stakeholder engagement, and then CEF connectivity, just a little bit more that I want to say about that. With the external advisory groups, I'd like to point out that our external advisory group, which we refer to as the Public Health Community Advisory Council, is made up of an array of representatives. And I hope that you have community advisory groups in place or to be put in place. We have public health professionals on our council, healthcare professionals, school district representatives on our council, an MPH candidate, a Bachelor of Science candidate on the council, a UW Extension Associate Dean on our council, the past and current chairs of the Wisconsin Public Health Council, and I feel honored to be the current chair of the Wisconsin Public Health Council, which is like our state Board of Health. We also have on our Public Health Council a representative of the Wisconsin Division of Public Health and all of the community health education faculty and the associate dean of our College of Science and Health. If that sounds like a lot, we really believe that it's needed, and it gives us a vibrant set of insights and input on a regular basis. We meet every semester for this very important array of input into how we're doing. The next point that I would make has to do with the AHEC centers and the what we call WICFET, which is the HRSA-sponsored Center for Public Health Education and Training. Very quickly, with AHEC, we have joint internships that we've established with AHEC centers throughout Wisconsin. And these joint internships are in collaboration with our other public health programs in the state of Wisconsin. If you're interested in that avenue, I'd be glad to talk with you individually. And in terms of the WICFET, the diversity of insight and input that we receive gives us various kinds of questions that we need to respond to on a regular basis, plus recommendations that are made by that particular group. Stakeholder engagement, we're transparent. And so we do have representation by the candidates on all opportunities for input. As a matter of fact, as I'll mention to you, we had taken the council, our advisory council, and we broke it down into four writing groups. And I asked the writing groups if they would be willing to take input from those of us who have been down this road many times before with the self-study, and if they would be willing, each group, and it had a multiplicity of backgrounds from our advisory council, if each one of those writing groups would be willing to write draft material for our self-study. To my knowledge, that has not been accomplished, or at least attempted, elsewhere, and it was a highly rewarding process. And we did it 18 months out. Okay, so it wasn't a last-moment move on our part. It was something that was planned from the get-go. And in terms of the richness of questions that came up as we met as a council, in terms of requests for input, data, and additional suggestions, that's what kept the process for us vibrant. It may not work for every operation, but it certainly worked for our operation. The CIFA connectivity I've already mentioned to you, and here's the thing. Accreditation is not a form of coercion. Accreditation is a form of collaboration. We value the input and insights of CIF with their purview, not only in the United States for public health, but globally. There are six programs that are currently accredited internationally, and more in the queue. Could you think of a more valuable stakeholder who could have input into our programs? So we look at it as a form of collaboration, and we value the insights that they share. And just a few points about process steps that can be taken. Advanced planning procedures, as I've mentioned before, these are what I call treble underscore points. Emphasis for you in terms of thoughts and ideas. First of all, using the recommendations from the previous accreditation process. Competency-based curriculum, we're driven by the seven areas of responsibility for health education, 34 competencies, 223 subcompetencies. In the five core areas, we select from the Council on Linkages that I'm honored to serve on, it has practitioner-based competencies that you can draw from. There are eight domains. There are three different levels. And what we do at the respective level, both for entry, both for our baccalaureate program and our Master of Public Health program, we draw three competencies that have been very carefully selected from each of the eight domains. Ergo, we have 34 health education competencies and 24 practitioner competencies around the five core areas that guide and drive our curriculum, our accreditation procedures, certification procedures, and our professional development. Student involvement, we produce documents like the Lattice, which is for alumni groups and for supporters of our programs. I want you to know that on a regular basis, the editor for the Lattice, and it comes out each term, the editor for the Lattice is an MPH candidate, taking that role and responsibility willingly with interviews and with very special instances related to our two programs. Continual collaboration, bridge building as you see here, WICFET, I encourage you to look into the centers that might be the areas for connectivity for you and your programs with the Centers for Public Health, Education, and Training. And if there isn't one that you can connect with rather easily, then join one that's already established because they do cross state lines. And then I've mentioned to you already how we went about one part of the self-study development process, and that has to do with having four writing teams drawn from our Public Health Community Advisory Council. What a rich opportunity it was, and we still benefit from the questions that were raised and the insights that were imbued in our preliminary self-study. Transparency, as I've mentioned before, from draft review and feedback purposes, we are now planning to put up on our D2L, our Desire to Learn system, the preliminary self-study so that people on campus, students, faculty, staff, administrators, and in the community can react and respond to our self-study. And that's going to be valuable feedback that we've sought in the past. Well, breathlessly, with about 30 seconds left, I did want to leave you with a take-home message, as promised. And as I tend to do, as you may have noticed, those of you who have looked at the subtleties in my presentation to you, I tend to do it in threes. And so I would leave these three points with you today. First of all, develop and implement a competency-based guidance system and believe in it and constantly refine it and do your best to be guided in all you do related to your programs, all in terms of curriculum especially, but also with stakeholder contact and with communication with important organizations like CEEF. Do your best to stay the course with those competency-driven directives. Secondly, establish written rationale for your processes. You want to know why, your stakeholders want to know why, CEEF wants to know why. And so if there's something that's a little bit of an adjustment or a little bit of a different path, explain why, and CEEF will respond accordingly. And then thirdly, maintain communications on an ongoing basis with the Council for Education in public health, because CEEF does give us the opportunity to have continuing contact, not only on a basis of every 7 years. CEEF provides us with the opportunity for questions and getting those questions responded to in a timely manner as the questions arise. And as many of you know, the responses come quickly. Thank you so much.